Louisa knew she would have to make the best of her circumstances. There was no alternative. Mynheer was the lord of her universe. She knew that if she tried to pit herself against his dictates, her suffering would be endless. She set herself to win over Gertruda. It was not easy, for the younger girl was demanding and unreasonable. Not content with having Louisa as a slave during the day, she would scream for her in the night when she woke from a nightmare, or even when she wanted to use the chamber pot. Always uncomplaining and cheerful, Louisa gradually won her over. She taught her simple games, sheltered her from the bullying of her brothers and sisters, sang to her at bedtime, or read her stories. When she was haunted by nightmares, Louisa crawled into her bed, took her in her arms, and rocked her back to sleep. Gertrude gradually abandoned the role of Louisa's tormentor. Her own mother had been a remote, veiled figure whose face she could not remember. Gertrude had found a substitute, and she followed Louisa about with puppy-like trust. Soon Louisa was able to control her wild tantrums when she rolled howling on the floor, hurled her food against the wall, or tried to throw herself out of the windows into the canal. Nobody had been able to do this before, but with a quiet word Louisa would calm her, then take her by the hand and lead her back to her room. Within minutes she was laughing and clapping her hands and reciting the chorus of a children's rhyme with Louisa. At first Louisa felt only a sense of duty and obligation towards Gertrude, but slowly this turned to affection and then to a type of motherly love. Mynheer van Ritters became aware of the change in his daughter. On his occasional visits to nursery and classroom, he often singled out Louisa for a kind word. At the Christmas party for the children, he watched Louisa dancing with her charge. She was as supple and graceful as Gertrude was dumpy and ungainly. Van Ritters smiled when Gertrude gave Louisa a pair of tiny pearl earrings as her Christmas present, and Louisa kissed and hugged her. A few months later, Van Ritters called Louisa to his library. For a while he discussed the progress that she was making with Gertrude and told her how pleased he was with her. When she was leaving, he touched her hair. "You are growing into such a lovely young woman. I must be careful that some oaf does not try to take you from us. Gertrude and I need you here." Louisa was almost overcome by his condescension. On Louisa's 13th birthday, Gertrude asked her father to give her a special birthday treat. Van Ritters was taking one of his elder sons to England, where he was to enter the great university at Cambridge, and Gertrude asked if she and Louisa might go with the party. Indulgently, Van Ritters agreed. They sailed on one of the Van Ritters' ships and spent most of that summer visiting the great cities of England. Louisa was enchanted by her mother's homeland and took every opportunity to practice the language. The Van Ritters party stayed for a week in Cambridge as Mynheer wanted to see his favourite son settled in. He hired all the rooms at the Red Boar, the finest tavern in the university town. As usual, Louisa slept on a bed in the corner of Gertrude's room. She was dressing one morning, and Gertrude was sitting on her bed chattering to her. Suddenly she reached out and pinched Louisa's bosom. "Look, Louisa, you are growing titties." Gently Louisa removed her hand. In the last few months she had developed the stony lumps under her nipples that heralded the onset of puberty. Her breast buds were swollen, tender and sensitive. Gertrude's touch had been rough. "You must not do that, Gertie, my shut. It hurts me, and that's an ugly word you used." "I'm sorry, Louisa." Tears formed in the child's eyes. "I didn't mean to hurt you." "It's all right," Louisa kissed her. "Now what do you want for breakfast?" "Cakes." The tears were immediately forgotten. "Lots of cakes with cream and strawberry jam." "Then afterwards we can go to the Punch and Judy show," Louisa suggested.
"Oh, can we, Louisa? Can we really?"
When Louisa went to ask Mynheer van Ritter's permission for the outing, he decided on an impulse to accompany them. In the carriage, Gertrude, in her unpredictable fashion, returned to the morning's topic. She announced in a penetrating tone,
"Louisa has got pink titties. The tips stick out."
Louisa lowered her eyes and whispered,
I told you, Gertie, that's a rude word. You promised not to use it again. I am sorry, Louisa, I forgot.
Gertruda looked stricken. Louisa squeezed her hand.
I'm not cross-shut. I just want you to behave like a lady.
Van Ritter's seemed not to have overheard the exchange. He did not look up from the book that was open on his knee. However, during the puppet show, when the hook-nosed Punch was beating his shrieking wife about the head with a club, Louisa glanced sideways and saw that Mynheer was studying the tender swellings beneath her blouse. She felt the blood rush to her cheeks and drew her shawl more closely around her shoulders. It was autumn when they sailed on the return journey to Amsterdam. On the first night at sea, Gertruda was prostrate with seasickness. Louisa nursed her and held the basin for her as she retched. At last she fell into a deep sleep, and Louisa escaped from the fetid cabin. Longing for a breath of fresh sea air, she hurried up the companionway to the deck. She stopped in the hatchway as she spotted the tall, elegant figure of Van Ritter's standing alone on the quarter-deck. The officers and crew had left the windward rail to him. As the ship's owner, this was his prerogative. She would have gone below again immediately, but he saw her and called her to him.
"How is my Gertie?"
"She is sleeping, Mynheer. I am sure that she will feel much better in the morning."
At that moment, a larger wave lifted the ship's hull, and she rolled sharply. Taken off balance, Louisa was thrown against him. He put an arm around her shoulders.
I'm so sorry, Mynheer," her voice was husky. "I slipped."
She tried to draw back, but his arm held her firmly. She was confused, unsure what she should do next. She dared not pull away again. He made no move to release her, and then, she could hardly credit her senses, she felt his other hand close on her right breast. She gasped and shivered as she felt him roll her tender, swollen nipple between his fingers. He was gentle, unlike his daughter had been. He did not hurt her at all. With a terrible, burning shame, she realized she was enjoying his touch.
"I am cold," she whispered.
"Yes," he said. "You must go below before you catch a chill." He released her and turned back to lean on the rail. Sparks streamed from the tip of his cheroot and blew away in the wind.